Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. Fred Bottomer, the Hall of Famer, Ethan Hannaford working behind the scenes. Our friend Sue Thomas is here. She'll do Sue's News in just a couple of minutes. Alex Rich visits with us on a Wednesday. And I have to put the right microphone on because you're on the mic that Sue usually uses. So
I am.
It's all very confusing. Are you there, Sue? I can't hear you. You're so quiet.
I'm here.
Okay, you go. I wanted to ask Alex, last week you broke some news that you were doing something on stage at the factory with this guy, Phil Rosenthal, who has this amazing success on Netflix with a show. And you were kind of invited to be the onstage MC Q&A dude. How did that go? Did you embarrass yourself?
No, not too bad. It was great. It was great. It was a really cool experience. And actually, the coolest part was not even that. It was the fact that we actually, because the show on Netflix is Somebody Feed Phil.
Right.
He's also the guy that created Everybody Loves Raymond. So the parents on Raymond are based off of his actual parents.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So we got to eat beforehand, though. He texted me and he said, hey, would you like to get dinner before the show? And so we fed Phil. We fed Phil.
Where'd you go? Where'd you feed him?
My buddy's place, it's called Westchester, out in Chesterfield, out in the valley. And it's an unbelievable spot. And they just brought everything. I texted my buddy. I said, hey, we're bringing in Phil Rosenthal for dinner. Somebody feed Phil. He was like, I know exactly who he is. Come in. Don't worry about a thing. And the courses just kept coming. And it was awesome.
It's a little pressure on you, though, when you got Phil in there.
And
so then how did everything go on stage then?
It was great. It was really cool. You could tell when these guys, you know, what they're doing. They could have a puppet up there, honestly, and and still do a great job. But I think you're more up there just for like really just a body to talk to, you know, and have conversation with. But I do feel I did my research. Look, when you do these things, they send you talking points all this. And, you know, the last two.
John Cleese didn't do that for me, honestly. But
the last 2-3 weeks, all I did was watch the show, study up on his background a little bit. So he would start talking. And really my job was to kind of segue it into other conversations to keep it rolling. And I think I did a pretty solid job of sounding intelligent enough,
you know,
which I know for you, Mark, might be a surprise to hear that coming.
A little shocking. Yeah. I've noticed that you've done it previously, but not too often.
Alex, did you sing your song for
him? I did sing the song.
Do you have a recording of that?
I do.
Send that to Ethan.
We'll send it to Ethan. We'll play it.
No, let's get it because we can get it on after Susan. I want to hear that.
It was awesome. I got the guitar out, played it in front of everybody. The whole crowd was singing along. I don't even have Ethan. I'm going to have to get it to him.
Just text it to me and I'll get it to him. Because I want to hear this.
It was awesome.
If you get to me fast enough, we might even be able to get it on
just
here before
it
the
right now.
No,
it was great. It worked out well, too, because, well, first, I got to go back.
Did you email it to me or did you?
I texted it to you.
All right.
I started out the show. We ordered, so at dinner we talked about, Phil, have you ever heard of a St. Louis style pizza? And he's like, I don't know what the hell that is. I've never heard of such a thing. And I said, it's essentially a cracker with cheese and marinara sauce on it. And I was like, not just any cheese, the Provol. He had never heard of any of this.
Really?
Yeah. And I said, you're either going to love it or absolutely hate everything about it. And so when we were on stage, we literally ordered an Emo's pizza the factory, and it was hysterical. Like, we had the so I introduced him and then walked off stage. He reintroduced me, and that's when I went back and I grabbed the Emo's pizza, brought the Emo's pizza out to him, and he tried it on stage in front of everybody. Everybody got the biggest kick out of it.
And he had never had it before. He really didn't know,
didn't have an idea that St. Louis pizza was even a thing.
Right.
And for him, he was like, this looks like matzo pizza. Because matzo pizza is a thing that we Jewish folk have during, Passover time when you're supposed to be eating matzah.
Right.
And you put a little pizza sauce and some cheese on it, and it's good to go. He described it similar to that. I will say, I'm not like, giving his endorsement out there for it, but he wasn't a fan. He was not a fan of. Now he's from New York, so.
Did he say that on stage, or did he say that?
It was funny because one of the questions I had was, as somebody that has a food show, and you're going to all these restaurants and you're filming them, right? Do you ever just really not enjoy something and ever let people know that you don't enjoy it? And he said, well, I'm always try to be as polite as possible when I'm trying something. He goes, but most of the time you can usually tell by my face how I feel about something when I taste it. And he said, how did my face look when I tasted the pizza? So he was not a huge fan of the pizza. We didn't get a chance to do toasted ravs, but I was surprised. He had never heard of St. Louis style pizza. But it was a fun time.
Well, that sounds like a blast.
But the whole crowd, do we have the audio?
Ethan's going to turn that around. We may have to wait until the next segment.
The whole crowd was singing along, though. It was great. The whole experience was really awesome, I would say, I didn't really know what to expect, but man, like, this audience here was true diehard fans. Like, I didn't realize that there was, this many big fans. Like,
devoted following.
It was overwhelming his following
was. Was it sold out? Did he sell it out?
People were crying. It was close to sold out. And he said for that type of show that it is, I mean, the factory is a pretty big venue for concerts.
Yeah.
And, if you're even a stand-up comedian, depending upon your, level, that's a hard place to sell out.
When Kilmeade came, that was the biggest venue that he does on his tour. But there was demand there for it. So.
And so he was impressed by the St. Louis crowd that came out. There were people that traveled for it. And it was a funny show, and he's a funny guy, but he's also very inspiring. If you've had a chance to watch the show, if you haven't had a chance to watch, you should watch, because you'll learn in one episode.
See, and I've never watched it before. Sue, have you?
I have. It's kind of fun.
You will learn in one episode that, food just brings, we already know this, food just brings so many people together in a different way, and it makes an uncomfortable situation a little bit more comfortable when you're having those hard conversations with people or meeting people that are different, whatever that may be. You'll see that he's just a genuinely good guy. And I even said, it's weird to have a show where people watch you eat, because I don't know about you guys, but I don't really love watching a lot of people eat. I don't think people love watching other people eat. And I said, what makes you so unique? Like, you eat in such an elegant way. Like, how do you go about this? Most people are grossed out by people eating. And I don't even know. He's got a knack for it. You got to watch it to even, to understand. But it's a great show.
So,
he's got a theme song.
What is his origin story? I know he created, was he a television producer? And then he creates Everybody Loves Raymond and...
Yes, he was. He had written a few shows, tried his hand at a few shows. And then, I guess there was some sort of introduction where... somebody connected him and Ray Romano, because Ray was doing stand-up at the time. And so he had lunch with him, and I guess he liked Ray, and he was kind of, Ray gave him something to write a sitcom off of. Really, he just needed somebody to
give him the inspiration. Yeah.
Give him the inspiration and be the on-camera guy for it. And so they wrote, they did it for 9 years together. Ray and
Did you
Phil.
Ask him what his checks are monthly from
you
the
know
residuals?
What? I looked up what he was worth afterwards. Yeah. How much do you think he was worth? Did you look this up?
No, but I'd say...
If you had to guess.
$75 million.
Dude, $200 million.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't... Well, he's got a little enterprise, right? Yeah.
Yeah. $200 million. I was shocked.
Hey, here's your song. You ready?
Here it is.
All right. It's a little hard to hear. You know, the iPhone, the audio does
Everybody sings along, though, here.
Okay, let's check it out
when
here.
This part
Let
comes
me fast
in.
Forward just a little bit here.
Oh,
did I miss
That's
it?
That's it. You went a little too
hang
far.
On. Sorry about that.
Might as well just let it play at this point.
Yeah.
It's going to hit right here. The whole factory sings along.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And that's the end of it right there.
Nice job. All right.
So
that's
Lake Street
cool.
Dive, they wrote him a theme song, and it's a little fun
I
little
love
song.
That band, Lake Street Dive.
So he loves them and reached out to them and said, I got this show and I need a theme song. And they wrote him that song.
Have you ever seen them before?
Oh, they're great.
Yeah, they're fantastic. I've seen them at Roots and Blues in Columbia. I've seen them at the Pageant.
They're great.
Really, really. Check that band out, Fred. I think you'd like them
what
quite
is
a
it?
Bit. I used to Lake Street Dive.
Okay. They're all, some of the covers
Lake
they
Street
do
Drive.
Are insane.
Yeah, really, really talented. All right, Sue's got...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Got Dwayne Patterson from HotAir.com and the Dwayne's World podcast weighing in on the Schumer shutdown after the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Tomorrow on the show, we'll visit with Congresswoman Ann Wagner. We had Bob Otter on a little bit earlier this afternoon. We have the roundtable set for Friday. That will be State Rep Steve Butts playing the role of Jane, right?
Right.
So that means that everyone else will have a lot more time. Jane's off for a couple of weeks. State Senator Nick Schorr will be here on my side, and John Gaskin also on the panel. Governor Kehoe will join us on Friday night. We are loaded up. We got Tim Summer on music as well as we take you into the weekend. Plus, I still have audio cut of the day coming up this hour, but we have to do this.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News, presented by U.S. Men's Medical Center.
I think it's
just
funny.
A little different, but
can
I ask a question here from
of
the
course.
Onset, just to avoid confusion and blame? How many pieces of audio do we think we have for Sue's News today? Is the answer one?
The answer is one.
Okay, good. I feel so much better now that the
yes, yeah. Yes, thank you.
Alex,
for
you
that.
Might have to hit the bell. That was
thank
time for
you,
the bell,
yes.
But I there we go. Thank you.
Appreciate
that was
it.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
That felt that
oh, that's
was
a fun feeling, isn't
that was
it?
The first time I've ever done
Do
that.
Do it again.
Yeah, it's very sad.
Is that all right?
Do it again.
Yeah.
Oh, look at
yeah.
that. You'll get
That's
a
really nice.
Yeah. It's out of my reach. I can never they don't yeah. allow me to touch the damn thing.
It's almost out of mine.
I try oh jeez.
That was short guy humor.
Yes, it was. It's National Hair Day. So there.
You know
I have no idea.
I celebrate.
Might I say it may be rare these days that you get three men like ourselves in a studio.
Three studly men.
Three studly men. Okay. Well, one studly and Fred and then us. And you got some great heads of hair.
Well, let me just say this. I appreciate you, and I'm sure Fred appreciates you including him, but I had this master idea, and Sue kind of told me that I need to get permission to do it because I want to bring my stylist in because you've never really done any kind of product or anything like that. I wanted to bring my stylist in and do a little hairstyle for Fred, like live on the air. Don't you think that would work?
Yeah, I do.
Sue doesn't think you'll go for it.
Oh, well,
are you talking about the full cut or just put some product?
No,
in?
Like
a cut
and a little little style.
Would you say you and I have a very similar style?
A little
haircut?
Bit. Mine's better, but sure. A little bit.
But yeah. We got the salt and pepper look as well. But,
yeah,
you know, I think it's the high and tight, a little shorter on the sides, a little long on the top. How do we? I think Fred would look just
I think we can do
phenomenal.
Fred, would you do it?
He sounded like he was game.
Yeah, that's fine.
For the sake of the show.
Where
that's
do you
the point, right?
Where, okay. Who's your stylist? Do you talk about this? Hair saloon?
Well, I've used hair saloon before. We can make.
I was
going to
say, I can get somebody from hair saloon
well,
in
we'll
here
talk
to do
about it.
It.
We'll talk about it for
it's
sure.
Better than making me do push-ups.
But now we're taking all the Sue's News time.
Sorry.
Out. We won't make you do that. Okay. Promise.
Wait, but wait. So if he said yes, then Mark, come on.
Oh, we're going to do
that
it.
That sucker on
We're
going
to do it. I got the green light. Yeah.
Okay.
Alex, she'll have to be here when we do it.
We'll do it a Wednesday afternoon.
Wait, we have video components.
Yes.
Come on, Fred.
Fred, it's going to drive people to the video components. Oh,
this is what the bosses want.
The videos
they want us to.
For things like this.
Yes.
Exactly. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, I'm now excited. Okay. National Hair Day. It's also National Black Dog Day. National Homemade Cookies Day. Oh,
ooh,
I should have told you that
I
earlier.
No, you should. Mark. I might have time to sneak in a batch tonight.
And one we all love and do, National Random Acts of Poetry Day. Huh? I need the bell for
do
that.
Do limericks count?
Well, sure. Do you do limericks, Fred? What do you got?
No, I don't.
Okay, fine. On this day in history, 63 years ago, in 1962, Johnny Carson made his first appearance as the host of The Tonight Show. He was introduced by Groucho Marx, and his first guests were Mel Brooks, Tony Bennett, Rudy Vallee, and Joan Crawford. Wow. It's just incredible. That was 63 years ago today. And if you want to watch some of that, you can still find some of it on YouTube. I didn't want to risk putting two pieces of audio in, though, so I didn't.
Probably a good call.
Yeah.
Considering our pattern this week.
Yeah. And on this day in history, 63 years ago, so while Johnny Carson makes his first appearance, the Beach Boys released their debut album.
Let's go surfing now, everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me. Come on a safari with me.
Early in the morning we'll be starting out. Some honeys will be coming along.
All right, there you go.
We're loading up.
They're still out there doing some music.
Yeah, they are.
A little bit, right.
This song, this was, you know, the name of their first album, which was Surf and Safari. But this song only made it to number 14, but it was still their first hit. And then they went on, of course, to do rather well.
Seemed to have, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw this in because it happened this afternoon. Jane Goodall.
Oh, wait. Say that again because I potted down the wrong thing. Say that
one more okay.
time.
Jane Goodall passed away today at 91. And she was mainly known, of course, for the work she did with chimpanzees
right.
in the wild. And she has a foundation. And she was out on a tour, I guess. She was on a speaking tour. And they say that her foundation released a statement saying she revolutionized science and she was a tireless advocate for the protection and restoration of the natural world.
Alex, I'm going to guess that's not a name that resonates with you.
Well, you know what? Actually, it's funny you say that because you know that question people ask? It's like, who would you like to hang out with for a day? Like, what famous person?
Yeah.
I know who Jane Goodall is. Like, she kind of, like, basically lived with the chimpanzees, essentially.
Yeah.
So many people that I know have answered that question with Jane Goodall.
That's fascinating.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. Wow.
Because I guess it's just, I mean, obviously she changed the way that I think people overall interact with animals, right?
Probably. Well, I mean, to a certain extent, maybe with chimpanzees in particular. But, you know, I don't remember all the details of her. I just remember her, you know, 30 years ago, her name was, you know, everybody knew that name.
Yep, they did. But you're right. I mean, she lived with them and had, she studied them extensively, but wow. 91. So that's it for Jane Goodall. She passed away this afternoon. Okay, things to look forward to since it's October 1st. What's going on in October? In sports, of course, the MLB wild card games continue this week. Game one of the World Series is set for the 24th, but the hockey season gets started next, too. So that's coming up.
Blues played last night, I think, and I think they play tomorrow night as well. Yeah.
That affects our drive home.
It does, and I had to remember
so
it last night.
We have to make notes
of and
that.
You know what? I was pretty good about that. Now that you mention it, I either, because I'll turn left out of the building. Alex, I don't know if I told you the story of my near death the other night, right? 14th and Market. A city bus almost took me out.
Would they run the light?
Yeah, like a solid red. It wasn't.
Really?
It was kind of scary. But yeah, last night we couldn't go that way because they blocked off where Enterprise is.
It's kind of crazy. Did you hear back from Met?
I did. I heard back from Metro. They said they appreciated the notification. Toby Roach, who runs that, said he would look into it.
They're going to send you a gift card or something?
I don't want a gift card. I just want someone not to be killed by a city bus. Although I did tell my wife, she missed out bigly because that would have been a pretty big check. She would have, her and Alexa would have done fine. You guys would have done some, you know.
A lot of memorial service.
There'd be like three people at my memorial service. It would be really outstanding. Be covered nonstop by nobody. So that was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
In movies, The Rock's new MMA flick, The Smashing Machine, opens this Friday. Anyone?
Have you seen the previews of that?
I have. I've seen a couple of nights.
Does it look good?
Well, it's just kind of mystifying how he looks like, I mean.
Skinnier, right?
Yeah. No. Is he skinnier? He just looks like a totally different person.
Oh, really?
They said he lost a ton of like muscle mass for it, right?
Yeah. Really weird looking in it.
Yeah.
He's the only one who skinnies up for films.
The Rock with no muscles is a weird thought.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't care for the thought. Daniel Day-Lewis is returning to the screen for the first time because he retired. It was 7 years that he's not been on screen. But the same day, it's Anemone. That is his latest movie, and that's coming out. Let's see, Tron Ares hits theaters on the 10th. And, the new Frankenstein movie opens in limited release on the 17th before hitting Netflix next month. Do you want to see any of those?
Probably not.
None of that really appears to me.
We'll have to ask Paul about the Frankenstein movie, because who's doing the Frankenstein movie? Do you know?
Del Toro.
I have an interest in that for sure. Isaac's in it, and Christoph Waltz. Yeah, so I think that one might be interesting.
Waltz is good.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Okay.
And I love Guillermo, so yeah, I would say this would be one that I'd be very curious about.
Well, this one is for you, Mark. I don't know. Jeremy Allen White from The Bear is starring in Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere on the 24th.
Yeah.
And he sings.
That's what I'm a little concerned about, and that's what I've heard. Well, no, honestly, and this is part of the authenticity of the movie. This is a narrowly focused story based on when Bruce Springsteen recorded the Nebraska album, essentially in a room with an 8-track recorder. So it's not like the start to finish biopic. But you know, in the Dylan movie last year, that's one thing that really made it work is that Timothée Chalamet did a great job singing. I'm not sure it's going to happen this time. Random fact.
Finally, it's Sue's News. Today's random fact. Oh, better be quick. Okay. Eating 10.5 cups of sugar at once could kill you.
Nah.
Come
was that
on.
A good, was that, was that good. A good? Was that a good?
That was great, that was, Alex. Thank you for that.
Exceptional on the bell this afternoon.
Wonderful.
Hang out. Because of that, you get to hang out a little longer. Hang on.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think I telegraphed this a little bit earlier in the show. I'm going to say something nice about the city of St. Louis and about the St. Louis airport today. Maybe a little historic, Sue. We don't do that quite often. But I'll also say something negative about our local paper, and I think I could get a lot of agreement here. So they have a story that's up there because they announced today that we have a new flight on British Airways to London. And in the story on STL Today, it says regional leaders on Wednesday cheered a new international flight that will take St. Louis travelers directly to London. The new service by British Airways begins April 19th with 4 nonstop flights each week between St. Louis, Lambert, and the UK's capital. I love that, by the way. But
yes,
there's some nuance here I'm going
fabulous.
To tell you about. But here, so Kara Spencer, the mayor, is quoted as saying, I can already taste the fish and chips. But what they did is if you look at the picture, they have Kara in this, you know, position where she's eating from a tray of delicacies, and she's stuffing a piece of food into her mouth, and that's the picture that they used in the Post-Dispatch. That's just, I don't know. There's something about that picture that didn't sit well. So they offered a lot of incentives here. The ticket sales began today, so you can already buy flights for next April. I think this is good because I've, in the last couple of years, I've flown twice internationally on Lufthansa. Fred, did you fly Lufthansa or not?
No.
You guys went somewhere when you went to Japan, and then you took another flight, right?
That's right. We went American, and then we took Japan Air.
So did you, Alex, you took Lufthansa when you went on the honeymoon to get to Germany?
Yeah, not a fan.
I wasn't a fan either.
Really? Why, you guys?
No, I thought it was it seemed like a very low-class airline, I felt like, given how long I was traveling. I felt like a Southwest airplane was nicer than the one I was on.
So the one that took us from St. Louis to, where the hell is it in
we
Germany?
We did the Frankfurt one.
Frankfurt, yeah.
Yeah.
So that plane that I took this year was awful. It was outdated. None of the electronics, like the stuff on the back
Wi-Fi
of the seat.
Wi-Fi didn't work.
Right, nothing.
9 hours.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not a fan of Lufthansa, but that's really the only way, to get to places. But now this is going to take you right to Heathrow. Now, look. Fred, this is a topic for our friends at the Show Me Institute, okay? It really is, and see what they would say here. Because the Port Authority, yes, we have that in St. Louis, has committed up to $4.5 million over 3 years, but only if the airline meets performance criteria based on the number of flights operated. So the story says, this is where I want to get a little better handle on this, the Port Authority funding will come through revenue generated and invested from Port Authority real estate leases to businesses and entities. Explore St. Louis, which runs the convention center, will help with public relations and marketing for the route. So I don't know. I want to find out a little bit more about the incentives. But I will say this. It's a kind of suck that we've only had that one option from Lambert to Frankfurt. And again, I think I've been on Lufthansa flights that aren't as bad as the one that I was on earlier, like a more upgraded or newer airplane, if you will. But having been on four flights now with them, two Frankfurt back and then two and back again, did not like them very much. So they had an incentive package as well, apparently, a big incentive package, which you might kind of imagine when that happens. Alex, I wanted to ask you about this because sometimes those of us in different generations have a different feeling about entertainment. We were talking about you and what you did at the factory with Phil Rosenthal last weekend. So they announced that this guy is going to be the Super Bowl halftime show. Mainly no English in his songs, Bad Bunny. So sure. You're hip to the music scene. So what would you say and what was your reaction to the announcement that Bad Bunny has been selected by Jay-Z to perform the Super Bowl halftime show?
I don't hate Bad Bunny. I'm not overly thrilled personally about it just because there's some songs that are just mainstream and they're great, but I have no idea what he's saying in them. I don't know. I think this was, I know this is the non-political hour, right, when I come on, but it does seem like more than just the music here. I think that Jay-Z in charge.
You think? Yeah.
Jay-Z in charge of the of the halftime show, and Bad Bunny doing zero concerts in the United States other than this one. I think that to me seems like more of the pick and the draw than the actual music itself. Now, don't get me wrong. Bad Bunny is a mega superstar.
Internationally. I pointed this out yesterday.
But certainly not for the NFL crowd, I would have to guess, right?
No.
Bad Bunny is arguably definitely top five, international. I think he's top five internationally known artists among people my age, my generation. But again, yeah, I think that it seems maybe it's for getting ratings for the halftime show, and they are going to bring a crowd to watch it that
international
probably
crowd,
does not normally watch the Super Bowl.
Right. I was trying to look at it from a different perspective, but can we get, I wonder if there's, what does Jay-Z do? Does he sit in a room and sip on a little coffee with a team of people and they have a little board up there, like a whiteboard, and they're using the dry erase board, and they're putting things up there, and the dry erase board ironically is white, but none of the artists that they put up on the dry erase board would be white.
What did Bad Bunny say about him coming here? What did he say?
Well, he wasn't going to do his U.S. tour because he's worried about ICE arresting his audience. Apparently, his audience consists strictly of people who are not legally here in this country. So no one was a fan of Big Bunny. I like that name better. I like Big Bunny better. No, I'm going to start calling him Big Bunny. Okay. No one was a fan of Big Bunny until Biden let 12 million illegals over, and then he had a big fan base here in this country, I guess.
His fandom really...
How can you sound like an old person more by calling him Big Bunny? It's like the Progressive commercials where you start acting like your mom and dad, right? Judy Reardon's pretty good about that, like calling things by the wrong name.
You've never balled out Oreo, your bunny, by saying Bad Bunny?
Oh, I have. Believe me, I have.
Start calling him Big Bunny.
Sue, when Alex played collegiate sports, I played a little bit of high school sports, but then I did, you know, beer league softball until I quit drinking when I was 25. I've, you know, done a couple of little 5Ks and stuff like that. I used to ride my bike very seriously, and I don't do that anymore. But there was a story that was in Inside Hook a couple of weeks ago that I saw, and Fred, I don't know what your answer is going to be, but it was, when did you stop playing sports? It matters. There's a certain age most Americans call it quits, but the longer you delay, the longer you live. And they start by saying that there was a claim a few years back that was very bold and probably not accurate, but maybe it was 95% of adults over the age of 30 will never sprint again. 95%. So the story...
It's not that crazy, though.
Well, all right, here's how they explain it. They say, look, it's the internet, so of course this concept came out of nowhere and was impossible to verify. On my end, I use it as an excuse to a big how to reach top speed again guide, which you can read here. But he says, all that said, while 95% is an outlandish percentage, I wouldn't be surprised if a majority of American adults have completely forgotten what it feels like to sprint. And I kind of have to agree with this guy on that. They said in 2015, they did a poll, and they found that participation in sports fell off a cliff after the age of 26. And that kind of makes sense. Now, there's one thing here, and I don't know if he mentioned this. I can't remember because I read this story a couple of weeks ago. I'd like to know how much pickleball plays into this because I play racquetball and I play pickleball. And so you've played pickleball even recently, right? Over there in Conlett Park. So that qualifies as participating in sports. So I wonder if these numbers, you know, go up a little bit. But they talk about, look, I've played pickleball. There was one of our salespeople brought her husband a couple years ago, and we played outdoors when I was first learning the game. And I mean, he pulled his hamstring in the first 2 minutes of playing, and he was done because he hadn't played in a while. There was no stretching involved. But I guess the story basically said the more you can stay, and this makes sense, and Sue, you're a very active person, I know that, but they talk about how if you continue, you know, over age 55 in particular, to participate in sports, which includes maintaining health, feeling and being part of a community, taking advantage of opportunities to develop relationships, competing and attaining a feeling of achievement, all this other stuff, being part of a team, that helps you live longer.
Well, I'm not surprised. Let me ask you this. Does that include, like, running? So it sounds like it's team sports.
I think
sports.
So. No, I don't think so. I think it's just being
community
active.
Community sports.
Yeah, but also at a full speed. When would you ever run at full speed? Oh. Even when you're working out, you're not running at full speed. There's no way.
Well, at the end of
I do. I'll do sprint. No, no, right. No. Because
you do sprints.
Yes.
Right.
Like interval sprints.
You really do.
Yes. Mainly because I don't like running long distances, and I have to do like a little bit of a run walk. So I was doing this over the summer.
Seems
this
like a risk.
Why? Because I'm old.
Well, I mean, I get nervous if I'm going to turn it all the way up. That certainly like. I'd have to ease my way back into it.
Well, what I was doing over the summer, I think you guys might remember this. My daughter had the swim practice at Big Bend Woods, and then that's over by Parkway South, and I noticed that there was this little hill incline there, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to run up that damn thing 5 times today. So I sprinted up it, and I was uphill as hard as I could 5 times. And then Alexa challenged me. She said, after I did it 2 days, I did 5. She goes, tomorrow I want you to do 7 times. I'm like, oh, no, but I did. I did it 7 times. Now, I haven't done anything since. That's what's so funny. I mean, I don't think I've
You're
done
probably
a damn
in pain.
Thing.
Your legs are probably killing you.
That's what's funny about that is because I was trying to do it to take the edge off the anxiety. I'm like, man, I got to do something here. And then that's the last intense workout I've probably had since, although I've run with the puppy. He likes to run, so I'll sprint a little with him. But going back to the point, like, Fred, when's the last time you did a full sprint?
You know, I've probably have done them near the end of like a 5K or something
okay.
like that.
Okay, yeah.
There you go.
Trying to get to the finish.
Yeah, right. Trying to look good at the finish, you know.
Huh. Alex, what do you do now?
I guess I was a baseball player. We didn't really have to sprint more than maybe But what do you do now? 90 feet at a time.
You play golf, but outside of that, do you do competitive sports or do you still play? There's a lot of older dudes who play baseball.
I don't know. I like to play baseball, but there's just, I did it for so long, and I just, some of these guys in the leagues that I do are just way too serious. Whereas I did play, like, see, I'm not trying to, like, you know, outdo anybody here, but I did play, like, competitive, serious baseball. So, like, these guys go out there and they leave it out all out on the field. My interest is just, I like going out there to play, but my interest, it's hard for me to really get competitive at those.
You've already done that.
Yeah. It's just like, some people just take it way too seriously these days, and it's like, dude, you just gotta, like, you just gotta calm down. Like, it's a miracle I can still squat down to catch, you know? So, like, give me a break.
But you never did softball?
I never commit to joining a team. If somebody really needs a ringer to come in and play a game for them, sure, but it's rare that I sprint it out to love,
like,
I'm not
going
to go sprint to first base. No, I'm not going to try to beat out a ground ball personally.
Okay.
No.
I love, like, Sue, did you ever do, like, softball league or anything?
Just when I was a kid.
Yeah, but not into your 20s or anything like that?
Not into my 20s.
Yeah, because I played until 25, and I probably would have continued if I had not stopped drinking, only because it was like a, you know, it was kind of like a beer league. Mm-hmm. We're having fun, but
and,
I loved
and
it.
And I did it co-ed, you know.
That's what ours
right,
was.
Right, Channel 4 had a team back in the day. Yeah. I, on Next Door, found a group they were looking for. It was older people. I guess they were mostly over 75. And they played volleyball in the middle of the day. So I went to that group for a couple of years. It was awesome.
See, now that's something I did in Milwaukee. We did beach volleyball. We actually didn't do it on Lake Michigan, even though there was a big beach. But the bars would have, you know, sand volleyball. And I'd still love to do that. I haven't done it in a while.
I would, too.
It's going to make you live longer. Just remember that. Dwayne Patterson from the Dwayne's World Podcast and HotAir.com after the top of the hour. Fred, you looked confused. Am I not right about that?
Oh, no, you're right.
Okay. Jeez, you scared the hell out of me because every once in a while I say something and Fred's like, wait a second, I don't think that's right.
You just reminded me that I need to text him to remind
me. Oh, okay. All right. I was worried here. So John Gruden has done something fun again for the state of Missouri. Ethan, set this up a little bit because we did this during the Blues season, and this is kind of a gimmick that he has on Barstool Sports, right?
Yes, so John Gruden, I don't know how exactly this started, but at some point, it started just with, I guess, one school sent him a box of their gear, and he just talks great about the school and shows off all this gear that he has.
Like the
and
swag.
Talks about the school and the team that, you know, sent him all the stuff. And you mentioned it not long, I guess it was before the playoffs, for the Blues, actually during the playoffs, the Blues sent him a box. He's
right.
Talking about all this gear, about the team, how much he loves them.
Getting people fired up.
Happened with the Cardinals as well. Well, the newest team in the general area for that to send a box to him was the Missouri Tigers.
So Coach Drink and the Tigers sent him a box. He opened it up today.
The Missouri Tigers, black and gold. And what a tradition they have. Let me tell you know their mascot is a tiger. His name is Trumaine the Tiger. He's named after Harry Truman. I know this because he's been named mascot of the year 3 times. Now, I don't know who votes on that, but if I had a vote, I would vote for him. Anyways.
He worried me there when he said Trumaine, yeah. And then that was confusing to me that he said Trumaine, but he goes into, you know, thanking Coach Drink.
Led by head coach Eli Drinkwitz. What a job he's done.
Yes.
And what a football tradition at Mizzou. I mean, when my dad coached at Notre Dame, the head coach was Dan Devine. Dan Devine
That's
won
right.
93 games at Missouri.
There you go.
Missouri. Warren Powers. Don Faroe. 101 victories. Look at that Missouri
That's
Tiger
cool,
right
yeah.
there. You like that?
I do.
Missouri Tigers. Frank Broyles coached there for 1 year. I mean, they had Larry Smith,
yeah.
Bob Stoll. A lot of guys have come through there, but nobody has really got the program this excited since Eli Drinkwitz.
There's a Bob Stoll reference in there. He was the coach, by the way, when Mizzou played Colorado in the fifth down game. And then he gives a shout out. I mean, look, Ahmad Hardy is just incredible talent. And let's hope he runs for like 300 yards against the Tide next weekend.
Have you seen the running back they got there? Ahmad Hardy, we honored him a couple weeks ago. I mean, he's a combination between, I don't know, Marshall Faulk and God. This guy's unbelievable. You know who else went to college at Missouri? The actor, Brad Pitt. Can you imagine that? He's walking down Missouri and Columbia thinking, hell, I don't know what I'm going to do today. We'll get Mizzou football, man.
You know, he also at one point gives a shout out to Sheryl Crow. And I love this little nugget. I remember this from 30 years ago. So Sheryl Crow did an interview with BXR Radio, which was a station still on the air that I was there in Columbia when the company that I worked for put it on the air. And Sheryl Crow told the story. So mind you, this is Brad Pitt's pretty famous at this point. She is too. I'm guessing right around 1993 or 94. And she says they used to do these things. Alex, I can't remember. Were you in a fraternity at Indiana?
I was.
Okay.
ATL.
So they used to do these mystery date things. I went on one when I was a college student. So it was kind of a fraternity sorority thing. And it was like a blind date. Sheryl Crow said that she went on a mystery date long before anyone knew either of them would be famous with Brad Pitt at Mizzou.
No
and at
way.
That
That's
point,
funny.
At that point when she told the story, they had never seen each other again. I'm guessing that they have crossed paths this time, but I thought that was kind of an interesting little nugget. And then one more cut here from Gruden.
You know who the quarterback is right now at Mizzou? Yeah.
Bo Prabula.
Get to know this name. Bo, say it again.
Bo Prabula.
Prabula, man. Can you imagine this kicking your butt? Mizzou getting ready for Alabama. What a game that is going to be. I got to coach Drew Locke in the senior.
Yeah, he said he got to coach Drew Locke in the Senior Bowl. So he was amazing, and I don't know. Because Coach, I love Coach Gruden. First of all, it's ridiculous that he's not an active coach right now in either the college ranks or in the NFL. But he went deep into some Mizzou football references there. I mean, beyond even Bob Stull, I was really impressed
with his
knowledge. Yeah, so I don't know if he did some notes or he did a little homework or if it just comes to him naturally, which I think part of it does. A combination of both.
Probably a little bit of both.
Right. Dude's been around football his whole life.
Well, yeah. There is no reason he shouldn't be coaching in the offseason. He mentioned that he would love to eventually end up at an SEC school.
Yeah.
Arkansas just fired their head coach. Keep an eye for it.
Did they really? When did that happen?
Yeah, Sam Pittman last week.
They fired him last week?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's who's the old Petrino?
Yeah.
He's going to be the interim.
No way.
I missed that story.
Yeah.
Didn't he get in some trouble at one point or another?
Yeah, mm-hmm. He did.
How about that?
There was a lady involved in a motorcycle.
Yeah, I thought so.
Wouldn't that be?
I thought so.
Who knows? Maybe Gruden to Arkansas. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I don't like it, though, because then we have to compete against him. But I do love that guy. And if you want to watch, the whole bit is like 7 minutes, right, Ethan?
Yeah.
So I put it up. It's on Barstool's website, or I guess John Gruden's site on Twitter. At Mark Gruden, KFTK, if you want to watch it. If you're,
Mizzou also put it out.
Yeah,
well.
It's really good. Yeah. I mean, he does. I wish we could play the
some
whole thing.
Some good gear, man. Too. You mentioned, where's that gear? You wish you could have some of it.
I mean, the box of swag that he gets.
If they're listening now, maybe Mizzou could send a box of swag to Mark Reardon.
I'm sure Coach Drink is listening this very moment.
Don't
Alex,
you think?
Great to see you.
Great to see you.
We'll see.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.